From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Riley wraps up coverage of the state FFA convention, Dustin talks with Bergen Nelson of John Deere, and I will continue my conversation with Mitch Roth of FBN about how weather patterns will affect Iowa this growing season. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Well, the raindrops keep falling on our head here in central Iowa. We got a one-day reprieve. This is Iowa Ag Matters on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. I'm Dustin Huffman. Andy Peterson joining me as well. And Andy, you know, we talk about the planting. We're talking about how we would like to see it dry off now a little bit so the planters can get going. And we've talked about this at length, you know, that it's easier to plant in a drier ground and then get the rain to fall. But I guess, you know, something we talked about, Andy, you know, I mean, where do you draw the line between the situation we're in where we need more rain, but yet you want to get that planting done? I mean, how do you pose that, especially when we're sitting here in mid-April?
Well, yeah, that balance is always important. I think we're good on moisture for a while, at least where I sit. All of the drought monitor certainly doesn't show that out earlier this morning. Still showing 85% of the state in some sort of drought, but we did see market improvement, obviously, 14% of the state now. No longer in drought conditions. That's up from 3% just a week ago. But I think it's in being out there planting over the weekend and on Monday, I think we're a little better, at least again, where we are moisture-wise than what the monitor may show. Off we go into the markets to start off. Eric Ralph from Comstock visiting with our own Mark Magnuson.
Joined today by Eric Ralph of Comstock for our opening market discussion. Eric, what are we seeing taking place in the grains?
A little follow-through weakness in the overnight trade. Soybeans leading the way lower, and surprisingly, bean oil down again here this morning. Of course, we had those big bean oil stock numbers reflected in the most recent NOPA crush report on Monday. So that's weighing on the market. Soybeans are kind of in a drag mode here as everybody tries to sort out whether or not the USDA is going to be more accurate than CONEB and the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange. Corn, I think, is kind of caught in the middle. There's some supportive information on corn with basis bids improving, and we're seeing some astronomical bases out in the heart of cattle feeding country in southwest Kansas down through the Texas panhandle. So I do believe that's going to start bleeding east and north, and here in the western belt, we should start experiencing some of the benefit from that improvement on the basis. But weekly export sales, again, kind of a disappointment. At least this week, we were able to see both corn and soybeans fall within the range of expectations. And I guess wheat did too, but that range of expectations for wheat was just abysmal. We had wheat, the range of trade guesses was from negative 100,000 to positive 200,000 for the week. And we came in at negative 93,000. So right at the bottom end of that range. So definitely disappointing there. We'll likely see wheat struggle here after double-digit losses yesterday. So definitely not good, but we're just looking for some kind of a spark here.
You mentioned those NOPA crush numbers that we saw earlier this week. Could you tell us again what those numbers look like and kind of what it means for right now and the demand for the biofuel market?
Well, the biggest thing that we could take away from the NOPA report that we saw on Monday was, one, it was an all-time record month. That was expected, so it didn't surprise in that regard. We know that there are more plants online now than we've ever had crushing soybeans, and so I guess it's kind of a double-edged sword there. We knew we were going to have a record crush, or we expected that we were going to have a record crush, and we did. So that would be supportive on the one hand. However, you did have a record crush, so you also are making a record amount of supplies, including the soybean oil, which is then going to be primarily utilized for renewable diesel. So what's going on here is we have a logistical problem, or not necessarily a problem, but it's something we haven't experienced yet. We have these additional plants online, so we're making more soybean oil. We have more soybean oil stocks because we have to refine that soybean oil to make the renewable diesel, and getting that flow down is probably going to take a little bit of a learning curve here. So we're likely to see some higher soybean oil stocks, and that doesn't necessarily mean that it should translate to a negative market for soybean oil, but that's what we're seeing right now because I don't think traders really know how to interpret the data and extrapolate what does that mean at the end of the day once the renewable diesel is on the market.
We'll have much more from Eric Ralph of Comstock coming up later on in the program, talking about those livestock numbers ahead of tomorrow's cattle on feed report. But right now, Andy's ready to go. He's got round one of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Getting ready for the Farm Progress Show, which returns to Boone in August. And you may say, wow, that's a long ways away. But there's a lot of work that goes into pulling the show off. Tracy Rodemeyer is a brand marketing manager with Case IH and says they got together in Boone with other exhibitors and vendors. It helps her team to prepare for everything that goes into their display.
My role entails a lot of things, but what I'm really excited about and why I'm here today is I'm getting a lot more engaged with our experiential marketing piece of it. And obviously, Farm Progress Show is a big part of that experiential event marketing. So I'm here today to learn and to network and to start to think about Farm Progress Show.
Now she says Case IH is excited to get the same face-to-face interaction with show attendees at the end of August. You can find out more at farmprogressshow.com. Listen for continuing coverage right here from your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture, the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Number two.
The search begins for Iowa's best breaded tenderloin in the 22nd annual contest sponsored by the Iowa Pork Producers Association. And they invite Iowans to nominate their favorite restaurant on their website for the best breaded tenderloin in Iowa. Nominations are open through June 3rd. And new this year, those who nominate the winning restaurant will have a chance to win a $100 prize. Kelsey Suter is the marketing and programs director for the Iowa Pork Producers Association and says last year they broke the 10,000 nomination barrier. So they love to see great participation and support for Iowa's restaurants.
Number one.
Helping to educate not only the next generation of consumers, but also agriculturalists at the FFA Iowa Leadership Convention in Ames. Mike Faraday, Corn Growers Promotion and Education spokesman, had the Corn Growers Trailer on Iowa State's campus for all the FFAers to experience, and he says it shows people just how many products that corn is used in.
Today's been a great day. We've had a lot of students come down, not only go through our trailer, but we have cornhole games set up outside. I have an inflatable cornhole game also, but it's a beautiful day, and one of the things is, one, learning about how they can take their FFA adventures right now and go into the future with Iowa Corn Growers Association.
He adds it's important to foster strong agricultural knowledge, future Iowa ag leadership. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, from planting to combines, we're going to be talking about harvest situations and some new equipment available from John Deere coming up next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, as planters are awaiting on the next window here in Iowa to get to the next round of Plant 24 underway, we're talking combines and what we may be using at the end of the season. John Deere will have their S7 series ready for us by harvest time. Here's Dustin with the latest news there.
It may be tough to think about combines, and we're still trying to get the planting finished for this growing season. However, in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to be all that long before we're going to start thinking about tuning up that harvesting equipment. And if you're at that point which you think your combine maybe just isn't living up to its expectations, or maybe it's just time to upgrade, John Deere encourages you to look at their new S7 series. Bergen Nelson is with John Deere, and he talked with us about the new features in the S7 series combines. Now, it's a smaller combine compared to its X9 big brother, but they've brought a lot of those features over to the new four models in the S7 series, the 600, the 700, the 800, and the 900.
So when we developed the new S7 combine, we truly looked at its big brother X9. We brought a lot of features over from X9 that our customers have been asking for on the S series lineup. Some of those features include a new cab with increased comfort and visibility, cross auger shutoffs, an adjustable unloading auger spout, a new premium power cast tailboard, and new styling. It looks very similar to the X9, but it's still the S-Series model.
One of the biggest features coming to the S-Series, automation.
We're bringing harvest settings automation and predictive ground speed automation to these machines. Predictive ground speed automation, we're using two cameras on the front of the cab, and those are looking out 28 feet in front of the cutter bar, and they're measuring crop height and crop density. We're taking that with a predictive yield layer map, and we can predictively and proactively speed up and slow down the combine based off of varying yield within the field. And what that means is we can keep that machine full consistently throughout the entire day, maximizing the productivity of any of the S7 or X9 combine. Harvest settings automation is another piece we're bringing, and that system automatically adjusts the five main combine settings automatically. And those settings are concave clearance, rotor speed, sieve and chaffer clearance, and our fan speed.
John Deere knows that harvest goes beyond the fancy bells and whistles. They're bringing in a stronger whole nuts and bolts experience when you get into that nitty gritty of the harvest.
The cross auger shutoff, the unloading auger spout, the new premium PowerCast tailboard, all these features that our customers have been telling us. We love the X9, but it's not the machine for us. It's too large. And so we want to stay with our current S-Series machine, but we want those features on that combine.
Nelson talks about the engine efficiency and its increased productivity that these S7 combines bring to your operation.
With the new S7 combine is the new engines that we're bringing over, the 9-liter on the S7 600 and 700, and the 13.6 on the S7 800 and 900. And with that engine, we're bringing up to a 10% improved fluid efficiency, which means we're reducing their fuel cost by 10%, and we know that it directly impacts our customers' bottom line. And then the second thing is the 20% productivity increase through harvest automation technology. So we're really excited to get these machines into the field, let our customers and our dealers experience this firsthand.
You can learn more about the S7 Series combines by visiting the John Deere website, or even better yet, go see them in person at your local John Deere dealer, where they can run through the whole setup for you. For Iowa Ag Matters, I'm Dustin Huffman. April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa.
Well, coming up here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture. We'll wrap up the conversation with Mitch Roth from our friends at the Farmers Business Network, looking at agronomics and weather. Looking forward to that conversation. Next, though, Dustin takes a look at cash elevator prices in just a moment.
Let's run down those basis numbers for you here on Iowa Ag Matters on this Thursday. I'm Dustin Huffman. Just like we've been seeing all week, some elevators up, some elevators down. It's all been kind of flowing according to their needs. Let's go ahead and kick things off here today. Let's start at ADM Burlington. They're 2 cents under on corn today, 427. Soybeans 15 cents under at 1127. Cargill and Eddyville, a dime over on corn today, cash bid 439. New Co-op Algona, they are a dime over on corn, 439. Soybeans, 55 cents under, cash bid, 1087. Ag State Sheldon, 25 cents over on corn, 454. Soybeans, 65 cents under at 1077. Ag State Alta, 7 cents under on corn, 422. Soybeans, 55 cents under at 1087. Cargill Cedar Rapids, 27 cents under on corn. They're at 402. Soybeans, 5 cents over. Their cash bid is at 1147. Nexus Co-op Marble Rock, 15 cents over on corn. They're at 444. Soybeans, 45 cents under. They're at 1097. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, 18 cents over on corn. Their cash bid, 447. ADM Des Moines, 8 cents under on soybeans. Cash bid, 1134. New Co-op Red Oak, even today on corn, 429. Soybeans, 50 cents under at 1092. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 10 cents under on corn. They're at 419. Soybeans, 48 cents under at 1094. New Co-op Sheraton, 15 cents under on corn. They're at 414. Soybeans, 55 cents under. Cash bid, 1087. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 6 cents under on corn, 423. Soybeans, 40 cents under at 1102. New Co-op Glidden, a dime over on corn, 439. Soybeans, 50 cents under at 1092. Innovative Ag Farley, they are 3 cents over on corn, 432, soybeans 39 cents under, cash bid 1103, and Cargill Muscatine 4 cents under on corn, 425, soybeans 13 cents under, cash bid 1129. Cash corn and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. That's been a check of your elevator prices here on Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
We got more markets still to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including a complete rundown of the midday grain and livestock numbers. Don't forget, you can get free market analysis sent right to your mobile device, morning, midday, and closings with the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network Market Podcast on Amazon, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Podbean, and iowaagnet.com.
As we've been talking here on Iowa Ag Matters, Andy, Dustin, Riley, and Mark, your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture. The change from El Nino to ENSO neutral to La Nina is something that's looked at far and wide in regard to trying to predict the results of the 24 growing season. Mitch Roth weighs in on that conversation with our friends at the Farmers Business Network. Visiting now with our own Mark Magnuson.
Mark Magnuson for the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, and I'm joined today by Mitch Roth with Farmers Business Network. And we're having Mitch on the show here today to talk about a recent report from FBN that is entitled, How Will El Nino Impact U.S. Farmers This Year? And when we talk about extreme weather events, how do they tie into either La Nina and El Nino, and whether or not we are likely to see those, or I should say more likely to see those based on what weather pattern we're in?
Yeah, so there can certainly be some significant weather events in either an El Nino or La Nina cycle. We've seen some pretty severe storms in the south over the past week or so as well. But again, those are very localized events, very hard to predict further in the future. But there are some ways you can prepare to try and mitigate some of those potential large-scale events. For instance, if you have struggled with too much moisture in your fields in the past and you don't have drained tile, always a wise investment from an agronomist perspective to mediate and moderate your moisture to mitigate some of those heavy, heavy rainfall and minor flooding events. That tile just helps remove that excess moisture in a timely way. But things like tornadoes and whatnot, hard to prevent those and plan ahead for those, unfortunately, other than perhaps crop insurance.
And then we talked about the likelihood potentially for more moisture or less moisture based on El Nino or La Nina. Is there a way to also then trying to decide which is likely to produce more yield just in general? I know I saw in the report some yield estimates and what either pattern could mean for yield.
Yeah, so thankfully we have a lot of weather data dating back for quite a few years, and that includes data from El Nino years and La Nina years. And the good news is for corn is that in either of these types of weather patterns, either El Nino or La Nina, there tends to be a slightly higher than average yield, anywhere from, I believe it's like 4 to 6 bushels per acre in either type. And we're experiencing both. So should be good news for corn this year. Soybeans, there isn't typically a huge impact in La Nina years, which is what we're entering. However, though, the warm, dry conditions might allow you to plant soybeans a little bit earlier in the season. And there's lots of data out there showing that soybeans can do really well if they're planted early and they adapt really well. So it looks like it should be a pretty average, if not slightly above average year for yields for corn and soybeans.
Mitch Roth of Farmers Business Network, our guest here today. Mitch, is there anything else you'd like to let our viewers know about when it comes to this latest weather report from FBN or anything else that you're kind of thinking about going into this growing season?
Yeah, so I'm a plant pathologist by training, so my brain always likes to emphasize scouting your fields for insects and disease pressure because weather will certainly influence those types of pressures. And those are something you can plan ahead for, either or using resistant varieties if you haven't bought your seed yet, or purchasing insecticides, fungicides to plan ahead for diseases that are common in your area. So be on the lookout for that. If you're seeing any diseases or insect pressures, you know, talk to your neighbors and stay safe out there this year, and good luck in 2024.
Mitch, thanks so much for helping us to break down all the information in this report, and look forward ahead to a great growing season.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, we thank Mitch Roth for those comments and a lot of great information there. Andy Peterson ready to go now. He's got round two of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
By Memorial Day, that's when the House Ag Committee will, quote, without a doubt, have the farm bill marked up, according to House Ag Committee Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson. After repeated delays in the farm bill process, Successful Farming is reporting that Republicans on the Senate Ag Committee plan to release a farm bill framework shortly after the House panel takes action. However, Senate Ag Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow says the Senate hasn't set a specific timeline to move the bill.
Number two.
Getting ready for the Farm Progress Show, which returns to Boone in August. And you may say, wow, that's a long ways away. But there's a lot of work that goes into pulling the show off. Tracy Rodemeyer is a brand marketing manager with Case IH and says they got together in Boone with other exhibitors and vendors. It helps her team to prepare for everything that goes into their display.
My role entails a lot of things, but what I'm really excited about and why I'm here today is I'm getting a lot more engaged with our experiential marketing piece of it. And obviously, Farm Progress Show is a big part of that experiential event marketing. So I'm here today to learn and to network and to start to think about Farm Progress Show.
Now, she says Case IH is excited to get the same face-to-face interaction with show attendees at the end of August. You can find out more at farmprogressshow.com. Listen for continuing coverage right here from your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture, the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Number one.
Helping to educate not only the next generation of consumers, but also agriculturalists at the FFA Iowa Leadership Convention in Ames. Mike Faraday, Corn Growers Promotion and Education Spokesman, had the Corn Growers Trailer on Iowa State's campus for all the FFAers to experience, and he says it shows people just how many products that corn is used in.
Today's been a great day. We've had a lot of students come down, not only go through our trailer, but we have cornhole games set up outside. I have an inflatable cornhole game also, but it's a beautiful day, and one of the things is, one, learning about how they can take their FFA adventures right now and go into the future with Iowa Corn Growers Association.
He adds it's important to foster strong agricultural knowledge. Future Iowa Ag Leadership. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, Dustin, as we anxiously await the announcement of Iowa's best burger in 2024, the Tenderloin Contest is now open for the 22nd year. We're looking for the best tenderloin in Iowa.
Yeah, everybody's getting really excited about that. And I know they got close to 10,000 nominations last year. They're hoping to break that this year. Of course, we had the whole breakdown of how the contest works on yesterday's AMP, and we read through all the qualifications and how it works. And, you know, 40 finalists, 5 from each of the 8 districts there from the IPPA. So they're going to be eating a lot of tenderloin here in the next couple of weeks here to get that narrowed down. Well, we'll look at your midday markets coming up next here on Iowa Ag Matters on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Joined today by John Heinberg of Total Farm Marketing at Midday. John, what are we seeing in the grains today?
Well, at least in the corn and soybean markets, got a lot of selling pressure. Wheat's a little mixed so far this morning, but you know, technically this market felt like it's been kind of hanging on by a thread the last couple of days in terms of both corn and soybeans, and we are seeing some breakdowns so far today. You know, July's through the 440 level. We've got December corn trying to hold on to 460 today. Charts look a little bit weak on the technical technical side, I think some of the biggest things going on there, first off, we're in that window now. We're worried about May basis contracts, producers that got those contracts out there. The market knows that those need to be priced or rolled, so it has a tendency to kind of go after them a little bit. So we'll have to watch that, you know, May trading slightly lower as well today. On the soybean side, again, it just comes down to export sales this morning. Again, those still continue to be lackluster, even though we saw a little bit of improved business, but most of that was known. You got those cheaper South American beans still on the board out there. That makes things difficult. And then the other factor that's really been a piece of this has been the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar versus the Brazilian real. And the Brazilian real is trading at multi-month lows against the dollar here. So that's encouraging producers selling out of Brazil for both corn and soybeans, you know, because they sell things in real, get payback in dollars. So they're actually getting a bit of a cash bump there.
That's the latest on the grains. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
Mark, beef first, as always. Daily estimated slaughter total numbers 124,000 head, 12,000 more than a week ago and 1,000 less than a year ago. Boxes are weaker here at midday, with 74 loads of choice cut selling 296.81, down a buck 21. Select at 290.88, down a dollar 76 on 29 loads of sale, which means the spread is narrowing just a bit to $5.90. Over on the hog side of things, daily estimated slaughter total numbers there, 486,000 head, 3,000 less than a week ago, and 11,000 more than a year ago. Cash markets, we wrap up yesterday's trade for comparison purposes. Barrows and gelts producers sold on a carcass basis. Negotiated purchases, over 9,600 head, so a strong run. Market was up 9 cents to 89.13. As far as the formula purchases go, we finished yesterday with an average number of sales at about 149,000 head. Weighted average price of $89.98 is actually about 25 cents weaker. Now, as far as the midday update, 2,794 head of negotiated purchases were sharply higher, up 204. Weighted average price of $90.49. Formula purchases, market is flat. Weighted average price $89.98. on 111,000 head of sales.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
May corn down 3 even at 427 and a quarter. May soybeans down 10 and 3 quarters at 1138 and 3 quarters. On the Merck. June live cattle down 25 cents at 175.07. May feeder cattle up $1.57 at 241.85. May lean hogs down 70 cents at 94.22. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Well, as promised, Eric Ralph from Comstock Investments back with us here on Iowa Ag Matters, talking with Mark Magnuson here to find out what's going on in those livestock markets.
Let's switch over to the other side of the ag marketplace in the livestock complex. What are we seeing with the cattle and hogs?
Well, yesterday was, I guess I would say, a negative undertone in the cattle. We did see positive trade across the board at times, but we ended mostly lower in the cattle yesterday. Today, I would think we probably have a somewhat soft outlook to start. This is the time of the week, and this Thursday and Friday time frame is when we see most of the direct trade as far as the Fed cattle cash. And there are asking prices floating around the country at $2 to $3 higher than last week's weighted averages. So far, packers have not been outbidding on those numbers. So we'll have to see, do the packers win and we get steady to lower trade, or are the feeders going to hold out and be able to get that $2 higher? And then that'll dictate what direction we go from here. I don't think it's unreasonable to think that the cattle have put in a seasonal low when we did punch that low last week. But you know, still remains to be seen, and we're always just one serious avian flu headline away from hurting that market again. So we'll just have to see how that plays out a little bit. Hogs, I think, have put in a little bit of a seasonal high. We caught a lot of hedge pressure when we had that July contract up there in the 110 range. Since then, since making the high, we've fallen $8. and we did break the uptrend line. We obviously are well off the high right now. I don't know that we'll go back and challenge those highs without a bigger fundamental story, but the hogs are still holding nice prices. The cash trade is still pretty robust. We did have kind of some unsupportive weekly export sales this morning. I think that surprised some, myself included. So we'll have to see how the market digests that today.
Some really quality rainfall here in Iowa overnight and then here this morning as well in some areas. Have we gotten the moisture, the rainfall that we've needed in those pasture areas throughout the country, the rangeland for grazing cattle like we've needed this spring?
Well, in a lot of the areas that we look at, yes. I mean, you can look at a drought monitor, and throughout the Plain States, it looks a whole lot better than what we've been staring at the last couple of years. However, it is early in the season, and their soil does not hold the moisture like it does here in Iowa. You know, coming into this week, we had a nearly full profile of soil moisture in northwest Iowa, and we've had another 2 inches of rain this week. Now we are absolutely full, starting to pond in the fields a little bit when guys are hoping to be getting planters out soon. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, but, you know, talking to clients out as far as Wyoming and Montana, they're still struggling in a big way. And they really haven't been benefiting from any of these systems that we've seen further east. So it'll definitely be a tale of two halves by the time it's all done, but it's still early to tell.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, we wrap up the 96th Iowa FFA Leadership Convention held on Iowa State's campus earlier this week. Our own special correspondent, Russ Parker, had a pleasure of judging a couple of different contests, which is always a cool experience. And Riley was on campus for all different kinds of multifaceted experiences, including training the next group of ag leaders. He tells us about that coming up on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, Riley Smith had the chance to be at the state FFA convention up in Ames earlier this week, and he's wrapping up his coverage today, talking with a few folks, including those at Iowa Corn.
All right, we're here with Mike Fernardi of Iowa Corn, and he's, of course, helping to run the Iowa Corn Mobile Education Center with the Iowa Corn Growers Association. And we're standing here at an Iowa FFA convention, you know, getting those students involved and having them be able to check out something like this, a great opportunity. How's it gone so far, and what have the students really enjoyed about having this trailer here?
Today's been a great day. We've had a lot of students come down, not only go through our trailer, but we have cornhole games set up outside. I have an inflatable cornhole game also, but it's a beautiful day. And one of the things is, one, learning about how they can take their FFA adventures right now and go into the future with Iowa Corn Growers Association.
So tell us a little bit about what is included in the Mobile Education Center. You know, what exactly these members are learning about as they go through?
The Corn Education Trailer is all about how, one, what we use farming for, how we do practices from technology, in any questions related to farming, just to get everyone that doesn't farm a better indication of questions they might have, but two, on how every consumer out there uses products that have parts of corn in them, and why we're using corn, because one, it's renewable, it's obviously we're very good at growing more corn every year, and we can make a lot of products from all the different parts of the corn.
And even, you know, aside from having students come out to learn, when you have people in general just learning through this trailer of all the different products that corn is involved in, obviously we know about all the food, ethanol, a big one right now, but there's even, you know, just more minor stuff that you wouldn't really think about.
The normal we think of is food, feed, and fuel for livestock, etc. But on the other side, we can actually make bioplastics. The absorbent part of a diaper actually is made from cornstarch. It's things that we use every day, like toothpaste and shampoo, and can be even hand soap.
Thanks again to Mike Fernardi of the Iowa Corn Growers Association for visiting with me at Iowa FFA convention. Always great to see that Iowa Corn Education Trailer out and doing its job of educating people. Also had the chance to visit with some members of the Audubon FFA chapter, as they talked about their mission trip this last winter,
with GoServe Global to build green bin housing for those who are in need of housing.
First off, I'm just going to have you guys each introduce yourselves, and we'll get started.
Hi, I'm Kerrigan Larson.
I'm Addie Hooker.
Colton Hansen.
I'm Edward Miller.
All right, so we'll start off over here. Just tell us a little bit about the trip that you went on with GoServe Global to, you know, kind of check out these buildings, get some put up, and help those who are in need.
The trip was amazing. I absolutely cherish everything about it. My favorite part was spending time with the children. I just adore how simple they are and how they love the little things in life.
Yeah, and the same thing here. I mean, how did you feel about the trip, and just what were some of the things you took away from it?
It was such an incredible trip. It was such an amazing opportunity that our FFA chapter got to be able to be a part of and just spread joy and spread love to those in Liberia. It was awesome to be able to have all the children around us and to be able to just spread joy and live simply.
All right, guys. Now tell us a little bit about just some of the specific things you did on the trip and just kind of the work they had you guys doing out there.
The one day we planted some cassava and pineapple, and it was kind of cool to learn how they do that there. We did a lot playing with the kids and just having a good time with them and spending quality time to put a smile on their face, and they put a lot of smile on ours.
And then how did a lot of that work go? I mean, was it challenging out there, or was it, you know, enjoyable most of the time? How was that?
Yeah, it's for sure enjoyable. With having all the people around you, it makes it easier. It's hard work, you know, being in the sun, and it's different than it is here, but you know, at the end of the day, it's totally worth it seeing the smile on everyone's faces.
All right, and so one last thing from each of you. Just what's kind of the biggest thing you took from going on that trip and, you know, bringing back here and kind of just seeing how things were different out there?
Like I said before, just the simplicity in life, how they live it. I feel like we definitely overcomplicate things and we run at a very fast pace while they're go with the flow. However, things happen. So I admire that and their happiness.
One thing that I noticed was the women there walk with for miles with babies on their backs and buckets on their heads. I mean, they're working hard all the time as they don't have super great transportation. So I think it's just important that we take that back here and appreciate everything that we have and all that we have to do.
No, everywhere we went, everybody had a smile on their face. They didn't really care how much they had or what they were missing. Everybody was just really grateful for what they had, and I was able to kind of bring that back here.
It was great to go and see perspective, see how everyone else, see how they can find joy in other things where we find it in materialistic things, and see how they find joy through people and family and ways they can connect with the world.
All right, and that wraps up our coverage here at GoServe Global for the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, flew by once again. Thanks to Dustin, Riley, Mark, and of course you for being here. And if you missed any of not only the Iowa Ag Matters program, but all of our other content, you can find it at iowaagnet.com here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.